Joel was an unusual man, as you know. One thing about him was that he was scrupulously honest, so that when he said something, it's because he experienced something. He was a man you could trust, a man you could learn to believe in whatever he said, a man that all of us who knew him found to be the kind of man that we all were grateful for. His words had a way of staying with you. They had a way of proving to be true. And all the books he wrote had a way of bringing that message to you in a certain precise way that when you read it, you felt, this man knows how to get me up into the higher realms if I study, if I work at it. I was very grateful for his teaching. It got me away from the human consciousness, partly. It got me away from the things I wanted to get away from but didn't know how. And I have a feeling that what Joel did for me, he did for all of us. There's no one I've met in this work at a higher level of it who doesn't have a profound gratitude for his sincerity. And tonight we want to continue as best we can with the kind of teaching that we could all depend on. It will do what it says it will do. All we've got to do is do what it asks us to do. And I'm hopeful that in the process we can come to a place that will be new. I mean new for every one, where we're left with a feeling that tonight I have reached a new height, and I can be sure that if I continue in the direction that I have been lifted to, that I am going to make my transition. This is the kind of class where we have nothing to hold back. Nothing. We're going to try for the fifth and the sixth and the seventh realms. We're going to lose our humanhood or try. We're going to become more positive in our spiritual approach to living. We may be a little out of step with the herd, the human being who walks in a material form. But I want tonight to make an effort to do what we haven't done, to achieve what we haven't achieved. Let's look at man's problem as he stands where he stands today, and our own problem as we stand where we stand today. We are looking at people who are unaware or who are aware. Presumably, most of us have a certain degree of awareness, which means that we know that the material world has to go. We have a certain awareness which tells us that I am spirit. And even though my neighbor thinks he's matter, I know he's spirit, and that I live in a spiritual universe. I think all of us are aware of the fact that we live in a spiritual universe. There's one big difference. It's enough to talk about it for some of us. And for the remainder, it's not enough to talk about it. You can be in a spiritual universe and know it, but if you're not practicing living in it, there's a great difference between the way you find the world, the way you face your neighbors, the way you go about your day. It's a totally different activity when you're settling into the spiritual universe and you're looking out at the people who you see and saying to yourself, every one of them is spirit unknown, every one of them is spirit to me, everyone is spirit, regardless of what they say or do. And when you live that way, you're going to have problems, but you're going to have different problems than the people who walk in matter. Now we're going to start out with a knowledge that spirit is our name, spirit is what we do, spirit is how we face the world, and consequently, because we are spiritual beings, problems are not problems to us. We have the same things happen to us that other people think happen to them. But when they happen, we have a different way of observing what happens. We look on a certain side of the activity. We see everything from the light of spirit. We see everything from the light of God. And we stand in the midst of those who do not see it that way. And we are quiet. We are careful that we do not expose the spiritual light because it can be trampled on. And we are very careful, nevertheless, that we pursue our spirit without end. We translate everything into its spiritual value that we can. That is not an easy task, but when we do that, we know that we are making a definite contribution to this world. Let's begin on this level of feeling the spirit around us, of knowing the spirit is right next to us. Right where I walk is a spirit. What I breathe is a spirit. Everywhere that I go is a spiritual universe, and I am walking through spirit. Joel had certain things that he brought to our attention so that we were compelled to lift all those around us by this knowledge. And as we followed Joel's teaching, as we followed the principles that he laid forth, we abandoned other principles that we might have followed. And in due course, we came face to face with a principle that worked a certain way and took us through certain conditions that we wouldn't have been able to come through. In other words, the principles prove themselves. But still, there were things in our lives, and there are things in our lives, that even though we work assiduously with total recognition of principle as best we know how, there remain walls that we cannot crack. And we say to ourselves, when will the day arrive? When will I be able to do this? When will I be able to live from one point of view without making concessions, without bending the truth? What is holding me up? Where am I? If you're asking yourself these questions, we're going to try to find a reason for your problems remaining. We're going to find another reason that you can eliminate the problems. And the third is the big one. We're going to try to crack the barrier that holds us in a material body. We have to do this because many of you have studied many years. It's the same old thing, continuation of the problem. How do I get rid of this and how do I get rid of that? We can't have that anymore. We want to be able to meet every problem before it even starts. We want to be free. We want every problem to fall into a nothingness as we approach it with truth. We want to be the elect. And to do that, we're going to go back before Jesus. It doesn't seem possible to find something before Jesus that would help us, but there is. We want to go back to a woman named Anna. She was a very meticulous student of the Spirit. I believe Anna had graduated from this world, although she still walked in it. I believe Anna was in fifth or sixth dimension. And my guess is sixth. Her husband was a priest. She spent her day in prayer. It wasn't the kind of prayer, dear Father, do this, dear Father, do that. It was a prayer which was an acknowledgement of herself as the living spirit. Continuously, Anna knew she was the Spirit of God. She lived that way. She didn't mingle. Her group were high students. You might say they were avatars. She walked in that group. And one day, she reached the conclusion. Something came to her, not in the visible world. She was about 60. She was beyond the capacity to bear children. But when she took leave of her husband, he was indignant. He didn't know what was on her mind. She said to him, I'm going to go and disappear. I have some work to do. Well, he grumbled, of course. didn't like being alone. But Anna took off. What Anna did was most unusual. She intensified her work in the spirit. She lived in the spirit day after day after day. Nobody could live in the spirit as much as Anna. There wasn't any materiality in her universe. And after living that way for a period of time, Anna returned, and although she was 60, beyond giving birth, she had a child with her, a babe. Her husband looked at her. He didn't know what to think. He actually was perplexed. She says, "This is our new daughter, and I have immaculately conceived her." He looked at her disbelieving. But it was his wife. He knew what she was. An honest woman. A dedicated woman. And Anna delivered a little girl. That's how Mary came into the world. It seemed impossible until Mary did it herself. At the age of 13, Mary, the daughter of Anna, conceived immaculately, conceived a son immaculately. In both cases, no man was involved. No man was involved. Two women, the mother and the daughter, had children without a man. I don't think we think of these things. We're too busy. But of course you can see that we were being taught. We just hadn't thought about it. We hadn't contemplated it. It meant little to us. That's how Jesus was born, immaculately, without a father. And his mother was born without a father. And these are true stories. Now comes the big question. Who's done it since? Maybe Sarah and Rachel before them, but no one since. I don't know anyone who was born without a father. And yet, a man that we dedicate our lives for and to was born without a father. And we have never quite considered what that might mean for us and what we have to do to make our transition. And I assure you, when you consider this subject, you're sitting on the purpose of your life and the fulfillment of it. What was the meaning of being conceived immaculately without a father? And how are we going to find the kingdom of heaven until we are aware of what it means? You see, Jesus was never born. There was no birth, as we know birth. It was a gift of God. And when you look at it carefully, this may startle you, but it's going to lead to some strange conclusions, which you will feel are strange, which you may feel are impossible, but those who will bow to these conclusions will find that it is possible for them to make their transition. So please hold your thoughts carefully. Examine them. Try to see that the possibility of birth without a father has to be something that happens in the fifth, sixth, or seventh realm, because it doesn't happen on the fourth. And in order for you to attain your transition, you will have to be born eventually, not as a mother bears a child, but you will have to be developed in such a way that your flesh is not formed from the womb. For that is not how we will go to heaven. Our function is to make the fifth level. We're in the fifth, which is soul. In the sixth, which is spirit. The seventh, which is Christ. There is no birth. There is no physical birth beyond the fourth realm. And you are witnessing in the Immaculate Conception something that only takes place at a higher level than the fourth realm. You don't see it in the fourth realm. And in order to duplicate it, you'll have to go into the fifth and sixth and seventh realm, in which you will be immaculately conceived. If we hold on to this truth, we can see something that is going to happen to us, which will be quite different from what the world expects. You are looking at a level of consciousness called the world consciousness, which has to drop away. And you are looking at a level of consciousness which you may not even be able to reach from the fifth level. Because Jesus was the seventh level. And in the higher realms, we are not born into matter. We are not born of woman. As we dwell in consciousness, we will ultimately see that we already are formed of spirit in a higher realm, and that what we are here is going to drop away. We won't be born. We already exist. We already are. If you can accept that, you're on your way to finding that you are the living Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to raise our consciousness so that we come out of a form into the soul realm, and then learn of our spiritual selfhood, which already exists and is not going to be formed in the physical world or in any world. There is not one thing that you are going to do to make yourself exist. God has already given you life, and you are life, and you have to find that life. There's no development. The only development is to find who you are. This is a strange message at the point, because when a person dies, he can't. It's impossible. What he does is he lays down his physical image. Some people think he's dead. Most people do. But no man has ever died. God doesn't do things that way. God doesn't partially make a man and then kill a man. And this is such stupidity. Everyone who is alive doesn't show forth. Everyone is alive, including us. We are not visible. What is visible is not our life. It's our materiality. When we die, we don't die. We walk into another level of being. We come back in a new form, and we try again, and we keep trying, and we die again, and we come back again, and again, and again. Our function is to reach that level of consciousness which permits us to accept the life that we are. And you will find assurance of this as you go along, because you're going to go through the death without the experience of the death. As you move into the death, you won't know it. You move up and come alive again, and you start again. You'll always be improving your knowledge to the point where you feel you can handle the problems that the world faces, where you can look at war, hatred, inhumanity, many of the so-called negatives, and you realize they don't happen in God's universe. You're looking at illusions outside of God's universe. And there'll come a day when you can look at them in such a way that they have little meaning for you. They may have little meaning for you now. You find as your progression continues in the spirit, problems they just lose their meaning. You can look at any situation. It isn't your situation. There's a new you formed which can look at the world around you with the knowledge that it's not there. And with the confidence that you have been brought to a level of understanding which is not stopped by anything in the world. And this doesn't seem possible at first, but I find I can accept it myself, because there are certain things that happen to a human that don't happen to the spirit. And when it happens to a human, and you will recognize the human unreality. There's no way of explaining it at first, but you will find a way to live through the human problems in such a way that they are not problems to you. Everyone here is capable of reaching that level. There are certain things that get us down, certain things that turn us away, certain things that enter our consciousness, but the time is very short when you have come into your level of understanding. Then you look at the same things, and for some strange reason, they don't mean to you what they did before. You feel capable of meeting these so-called problems. You feel like you have been lifted out. And yet you're the same self. It's just that your consciousness has changed. And you can look at things that had been a great problem to you before, and you can look at the same things now through a higher level of yourself. And you say, I was strange. I was afraid of that. As you develop yourself, these things disappear. And so we start to develop the spiritual side of us. Always we have in mind, I am going to find some way that I will appear in the universe and not be born. I'm going to find some way that takes my birth away, but I still exist. I'm going to follow those two women who went into the invisible, came back with two children. I want to follow that a little more closely because there's a message in it for me. I've got to find what that message was. It's a very subtle one, as you can see. The child was only 2 years old, and the great priest, the head of the priesthood there, got his assassins out, went roaming the countryside looking for that child to kill him. But they couldn't find the child. And the reason was that this child was invisible. Because it was not born of physical birth, it wasn't physically visible. It's my opinion, too, that the mother was the same invisibility. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Well, this child was 6 years old. It was quite advanced. Now he was visible because he was equipped to be visible or invisible. Later, he did such strange things. He'd disappear in a temple. Disappear in a tomb. He'd go walking on water. He never saw the visible. He never saw the invisible. He saw this mirage. You called it Jesus. But Jesus was the invisible Christ. And the invisible Christ was doing all these things. There wasn't anything the invisible Christ couldn't do. And we are told that I and the Christ, I and the Father, are one. Is it possible that we are capable of the unusual things that were formed by Christ? How did he raise the dead? Is it possible that we can raise the dead? How did he multiply loaves and fishes? The Christ, we say, multiplied loaves and fishes. The Christ did every miracle that Jesus performed. The Christ was the invisible of Jesus. But the Christ is the invisible of you and of me. Is it possible that the Christ would not be capable of doing the same things that he did for Jesus? And we must answer, of course it's impossible. So then potentially, I, the Son of God, the living Christ, am capable of every miracle performed by Jesus. Suppose we begin to perform some of those miracles and find out if we can. There's only one way you can do it. You have to find your Christhood. And you're going to find your Christhood, because the divine plan is just that. You cannot be one with the Father, which means I am the Christ. You cannot be that forever and yet not come into the awareness of that. And so you see, what you are going to do is to find yourself as the invisible Christ. Every individual on the face of the earth is going to be born of the Christ, that is, aware that Christ is his name. That's only a step toward the kingdom of God. And that's where we're heading. Now you say, oh, we're so far away from that. You think you are. What's the point of this book which says you're not? I and the Father are one. Don't you think it's the truth? What's the point of Anna and Mary both having children without a process, without a husband? Was it just for play or to teach us something? Can they be different than we? You see then? Your name is the same as Anna. Your name is the same as Mary. It's just the space between you has to be cultivated in your consciousness. That is the only difference, because Everyone is a child of God. And how many children do you think God has? One. Each of us is Anna. Each of us is Mary. Each of us is perfect, but each of us has a material body, a material mind. And that is our problem. It's not something that we have to feel bad about. It was meant for us to be at this level. And we have worked hard at living at this level. And occasionally there's one among us, like Joel, who steps up. And many more, if you could see another level of consciousness. We are in the process of learning. And I'm quite sure that many of us feel that we are so fortunate to be in that process, because it gives a depth to life and a meaning that nothing else could hold. We can learn how to be the Christ. If it takes you 1,000,000 years, you're going to learn it. If it takes you 1,000, you're going to learn it. That's our job. We have to learn to be the Christ. And so we bend our efforts, because it's the inevitable truth. And in order to do it, we want to shorten the so-called time that it takes, the bloodshed that it takes, the incredible amount of ignorance that keeps us away from it, the hospitals, the wars, all of that, just a vast network of the consciousness that knows no truth, the consciousness that is a victim because it stands unprotected, does not go into spiritual awareness. Spiritual awareness, then, is the only way. There is no possibility of saving anything in your life that is not spirit. Everything you have will go. Everything you call your body will go. Everything you call your possessions will go. The only thing you will remain with is the Spirit of God. I'm sure that few of us realize that the passage which talked about the birth of Christ, which was not a birth, the Immaculate Conception of the mother and of the daughter both, is treated right here in our Bible, but we don't know where it is. And that's an important passage that I want to read to you. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. Now you'll see the meaning of that very soon. Which were born not of blood, see how the Immaculate Conception was not being born of blood, and that is the same kind of conception that is possible to those who receive him. But of the will of the, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There, see how the Immaculate Conception then is birth of something which comes from the will of God. This is where you connect up to the Immaculate Conception. And that's John 12 to 15 or 14. Birth not from anything, not from blood, not from man, but not even from the will of people, but only from the will of God. And did it occur to you that that's how we were born? From the will of God. That's how we were born. So it wasn't a birth, you see. Each of us was immaculately conceived. We can't remember when, can we? We were not born. Because all the people who were born before us for thousands of years, where are they? They weren't immaculately conceived. But the truth is that each was immaculately conceived and is alive now and will always be. Immaculate conception is the only way you can live in the kingdom of God. Now, did you ever think that was going to happen to you? It already has. You're not going to be immaculately conceived. You are. You are a result of the Immaculate Conception. But not your visible self. Your invisible self is immaculately conceived by God, is always alive, never dies, never has a problem, never has a disease, never is in any way handicapped, does not appear in the physical universe. And that's why we're going out of the physical universe into the reality of being. We will find our immaculately conceived self. You are immaculately conceived, and no one can change it. And when you believe it, there is something that will happen to you. Let's try to imagine the truth. You get a whiff of what happens to you. If you could turn your mind off for 5 minutes, and look at this world differently than you do with your mind and your eyes and your fingers, no contact with the world through touch. Retire to your invisibility and be alive in your invisibility for 5 minutes with me. And you'll get an idea of the possibilities that await us. Because we are not visible creatures. We are invisible. It is in the invisibility of ourselves that our immaculate conception becomes known to us. And while you're invisible, just imagine that there's a torpedo coming through the water. it breaks, it hits the battleship, splinters all over, and you're invisible not only to the sight, but you have no physical body, as Jesus, as the Christ has no physical body. Now, what are you going to worry about when a torpedo comes if you have no physical body? It's just in another world, isn't it? You're going to find that all of the things of this world have no threat. Death, disease, anything material that could jeopardize, there's no one to be jeopardized. The immaculate born creature doesn't look at those illusions, doesn't feel those illusions, is not tormented or terrorized by those illusions. And when you realize that you are an immaculate born, invisible creature, and you start to live in that invisibility right here, you realize how true it is. And you will realize that I can walk through the things that are tormenting the world. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can see me. I'd like to live that way for a couple of minutes. I live that way for more than a couple of minutes. I'd like to share a couple of minutes with you. Where did Joe go? Where do you think he's gone? Is he going to be visible again? Let's say no, that he's invisible. Now what in this world is a threat to him? The waves? The diseases? What can hurt him? Automobiles speeding down the highway? Something falling off of a high place on him below? See, there's nothing can hurt Joe from the physical world. And yet we know he's alive. Now, it's possible to develop your consciousness so that you, in this world, walk in your invisibility. Oh, not 24 hours a day. Not right at first. But you can walk in your invisibility when the need is there. You can practice it for 5 minutes out of every 2 hours. And then when the need occurs, you find that your invisibility can become a reality if you have worked with it. You're not going to turn invisible just by trying it, but you're going to turn invisible when your consciousness reaches a level that it will not be converting the world into form. We start to do that now. We start not converting the world into form. In our silent awareness that matter is not here, that only one substance is here. And that substance is spirit. You've got to get out of the unreality, which seems so real because you touch it. It touches you. Everything in this world is an unreality. Now, if we don't practice being in our invisible self, There's nothing anyone's going to do for you that's going to be valuable or close to admitting the truth to your consciousness. We have to practice I am invisible. And at first it'll be, who are you kidding? But you're going to find the day comes when suddenly it strikes you I'm not pretending that I'm invisible. Suddenly I realize that I really am. I thought it was a game up to that point. I say I'm invisible. Then I go and say it again. I don't realize that I am invisible now. And in one of these little games that you play, something's going to happen, and you're going to discover, to your amazement, that you have been saying the truth. Suddenly something is not going to hit you that should have hit you. You're going to say, well, how did that happen? And there's only one answer for it. You weren't there to be hit. And you really were invisible. But you see, you're in the consciousness that makes form out of everything. You're in the consciousness that sees and touches and feels. What happens when 40 years later they lay us down in the grave? Then we feel nothing. We see nothing.